Well, in today's scripture lesson from Mark, we have a pair of stories. And we find a woman who was having an experience with the doctors that I bet many of you can relate to. She had been suffering with hemorrhages for over 12 years. And Mark says, listen to this. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. Does that ring a bell for any of you? I've heard many people over the years express those same sentiments, that they had been to many doctors and spent a lot of money without being helped. Maybe you've had that experience too. In the second story today, we hear about Jairus and his 12-year-old daughter. And as the story begins, Jesus is returning from time spent with the Gentiles in the country of Gerasenes, which was located on the eastern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And they had just crossed a rough and stormy sea, and now they were going back to the western side, or the Jewish side of the sea. That really struck me when I read that, because the Sea of Galilee represents both a physical and a spiritual boundary between the Gentiles and the Jews. I guess there was segregation even back in those days as well. So when Jesus arrived back on the Jewish side, the western side of the sea, a great crowd gathered around him. And one of the men in the crowd, Jairus, the synagogue leader, his daughter was sick. In fact, she was on the verge of death. And Jairus was a desperate man. He had heard of Jesus healing miracles like so many others had, and came back to ask Jesus if he could heal his daughter. And it's interesting, because if Jairus' daughter had not been sick, it seems quite possible that he would have been on the other side of the fence, that he would have been one of Jesus' enemies. But his daughter was dying, and he had heard that Jesus was a great healer, so what did he have to lose? When a parent's child is dying, they're desperate, and they'll do anything to embrace anyone who might be able to help. And what comes next tells us just how distressed Jairus was. He fell at Jesus' feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her quickly, that she may be made well and live." Nothing else mattered to him at the time. And if you were in his shoes, you wouldn't be interested in theological disputes or political differences or whether he came from a red or a blue state. The only thing on your mind would be getting help for your child. So Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and begged Jesus to heal his daughter. And so Jesus responded by going with Jairus to his home. What great care he showed in these details. But wouldn't you know it, there was a delay. The crowd was still there, and they were moving along with Jesus ever so slowly. There was that woman, you remember, in the crowd, the sick woman that had the hemorrhage. She had spent all of her money on the doctors and showed no improvement. Well, she was back, and she crawled her way through the crowd until she was standing next to Jesus. She didn't ask Jesus to help her. She wasn't as forward as Jairus was. She was just a lowly woman, because she had no business being in the crowd in the first place. Do you remember why? Well, she had a bleeding condition, and blood was anathema in those days. It made her ritually unclean. She was not supposed to touch or be near anyone, because if she touched someone, that person would become unclean as well. The person's status was little more than that of a leper. And so she thought, if I can just touch Jesus' robe, if I can just touch it. And so she reached out and touched his cloak. And you know, her bleeding stopped right away. Immediately she felt this surge of power. She knew that she had been delivered from her illness. And she felt lucky that no one in the crowd noticed her, because they would have driven her away and she would have been isolated. But one person noticed. Jesus noticed. And he said, "Who touched me?" What had she done? She was afraid and she trembled. And the woman, shaking, stepped up. And she told Jesus that she was the one that had touched him. And she had been healed. What was he going to say? "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Jesus did what the doctors could not. But getting back to Jairus, Jairus was right there with Jesus all along, chomping at the bit. He was in a hurry. He wanted to get to the house where his daughter was dying, and oh, the crowd was moving so slow. Can you imagine how frustrated he must have been? But then came the bad news, the news that he feared. Some people came to tell Jairus that his daughter had died, and he was devastated. So he thought he might as well quit bothering Jesus, because there was nothing further for him to do. His daughter was dead. But Jesus wasn't ready to give up. He said, "Do not fear, only believe." That's a good thing for us all to remember every day. Do not fear, but only believe. And so Jesus took some of his favorite disciples. Did you know Jesus had favorites when it comes to disciples? And together they went with Jairus and they walked to the house. And can you imagine the conversation that must have taken place? On their way, they met mourners. Sometimes they hired people in those days to be professional mourners. People were weeping and wailing for the dead girl. And Jesus said, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but only sleeping." And they laughed at Jesus because he wasn't making sense. The little girl was dead. They had seen her with their own eyes. There was nothing more to be done except weep. But that didn't discourage Jesus. Along with some of the disciples and the girl's parents, they went to the house. And there the little girl was, lying there motionless. And Jesus took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kum," which is Aramaic for, "Little girl, get up." And she got up and she began to walk around, and everyone was amazed. And Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Don't you like those practical details? They thought she was dead, and now he says, "Give her something to eat." And just like that, they walked out into the sun and they were on their way. So what does all of this have to do with us today? It was a nice story back then, but what does it mean today? I think it comes down to this. Jesus enters our lives and our helpless moments and brings us hope. Brings us hope. That's what you can take away from this story today. He heals us when we thought healing was impossible. And he makes us whole even when health is not restored. He still makes us whole. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That's important. You have a choice about how you respond when you're not well. You can be bitter, or you can be grateful for a spiritual presence that is by your side, helping you get through it all no matter what happens. I have been privileged to be by the bedside of people who were dying, and some were filled with joy and peace. It's happened more than a few times when I've been present. And we understand Jairus, when his daughter died, we can have empathy. We can relate to the woman with the hemorrhage for over 12 years and yet no relief. Most of you have probably been in those same shoes at one time or another, down to your last dime, and you still were not well. I remember going through some pretty desperate times with our oldest son, Jackson, when he was chronically ill for a couple of years. I mentioned him before. Just like that woman, we had been to many doctors, but to no avail. None of them could find anything wrong. None of the medicines helped. But we had one thing. We had prayer. We had prayer, and we prayed a lot. And if we could have just reached out and touched the hem of Jesus' garment like that woman in today's story, we might have. I thought about reaching out to touch the cuff of the doctor's pants, hoping maybe it might make a difference. And it took a long time. It took over 2 years. The healing wasn't instant, but it was miraculous nevertheless. And I think this is an important point. Sometimes miracles take time. We think of them happening immediately, but sometimes it takes time and they still happen. The doctors didn't understand at all what was wrong with Jackson. And you know, when you have one of the world's leading pediatric specialists and he says, "I don't know what's wrong," well, you begin to get a little worried and wonder where things will go from there. But we prayed a lot, and our two churches prayed a lot, and today he is healthy and symptom-free. I've been privy to more than a few miracles in my 40 years of ministry, probably more than a few, but I was just too dense to notice, and they slipped by. But here's one I remember. 6 or 7 years ago, I was serving a church in New Jersey, and I got a call one day from one of the young moms in my congregation. She had received bad news about her 2-year-old son, Wyatt. And after a series of earaches and headaches, and he went to a specialist, the doctors were not expecting what they found. Wyatt had neuroblastoma. I didn't know what that meant. I had to look it up. Maybe you know. Neuroblastoma, well, even the name sounds ominous. It was a rare malignant brain tumor. They couldn't do surgery, and chemo was the only option. And even so, the doctors were not very optimistic. There was a 2 or 3% chance of survival at best. How would you like those odds? 2 to 3%. But the family was determined to beat the odds. And that night, a prayer chain went out to over 200 people around the world. People started praying for Wyatt and his family. And it must have helped, because over the course of a year, the tumor had shrunk from the size of a golf ball to the size of a pea, and showed no signs of spreading. It was in remission. The doctors credited the chemo, and of course it helped, but even they didn't expect that result, and they couldn't explain it. But the family must have felt like that woman tugging on the hem of Jesus' cloak. Persistent prayer made a difference. And they also called me to do a baptism while the little boy was in ICU, and they also credit that towards the healing. Well, 3 years later, there was no sign of cancer for Wyatt. He was a normal, healthy, happy 5-year-old running around getting into mischief, much to his parents' delight. It doesn't always work out that way neatly in real life. And yet, no matter the outcome, we can know that the spiritual presence of Jesus never leaves our side. And so I ask you, what needs to be healed in you today? Would you tug at the hem of Jesus' garment if you had a chance? It may not be a physical need. It might be emotional or spiritual. You might be stressed or overwhelmed or worried about the outcome of a particular situation. But a lot of this remains a mystery. Maybe there was a reason Jesus warned the disciples not to tell anyone. They wouldn't have understood. Like the woman with a hemorrhage, or Jairus worried about his daughter. Be persistent. Don't give up. What Jesus said to Jairus, he says to us, do not fear, only believe. Amen.